Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
The purpose of the Bible on Trial, as created by Rich Humpel, is to compare the current beliefs of Christianity to the actual words and teachings of Jesus Christ as he gave them to his own eyewitness disciples, and then discover if there are any differences.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door.
Now join the Spirit of Truth Ministry team for an eye-opening hour of investigation as we search for truth by putting the Bible on trial. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Bible on Trial. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Suzette and Rick with Dr. Don on the phone, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy, busy schedule to join us today for another edition of The Bible on Trial. Today is Friday, September 11, 2015, and it is the 14th year since the world changed. All of us remember, we've been talking about it a little bit here before the program. All of us remember where we were and what we were doing. It is one of those watershed events that creates a focal point in time.
And it was not a change for the better.
And no, it definitely was not a change for the better, absolutely not. And how whoever you think was involved in this, and however you think that day played out, it certainly was a tragedy for the people that were involved in the buildings and the firefighters and all of the emergency people that were involved in functioning through that day and then the days following that. And so we just do remember that day. We remember it with horror, as well as with the remembering the people who, for various reasons, were incredibly brave. The firefighters who went up into the towers, not knowing that they were going to die, but it wouldn't have mattered. They went anyway.
Yeah.
There are lots and lots of really good people in this world that are overcome by evil. And 14 years ago today, this morning, evil manifested itself in an amazingly insidious way. And that is all I will say about that. We have a website that is posted up on our chat room. The chat I will be monitoring today. If you have any comments or questions and you don't want to call in, you can leave those messages with me on the chat room, and I will be delighted to pass that information or those questions on to our group. If you'd like, what we would prefer, of course, is that you call in and have a conversation with us. So if you decide to do that, all you have to do is dial in on our phone number, which is 646-716-8390, and press number 1 on your keypad when you hear the prompt, and I will be glad to get you on the air. Let's have prayer, and we'll get started. Father in heaven, thank you so much for granting us a peaceful time today as we get together to study the words of Jesus and compare them to what we have been taught that he said through the Apostle Paul. I pray, Father, that today as we go through our study, that you will reveal to us your truth. do not let what we say here conflict with what you have told your own eyewitness disciples, dear Jesus. And Father, who gave us the information in the law and the prophets, thank you for granting us this time together. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Morning, Suzette.
Morning.
Nice to see you. And good morning to you. Oh, I was just about to mention, I was just about to say something about his hair, which is always looking so, you know, but then again,
he's got some.
No, I'm being very nice. I am just.
Although there was a picture on Facebook where you actually had hair.
Did you like that? That was when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
And I had a full head of hair.
I think I said something.
I know you did. And you noticed that I didn't respond?
I noticed.
Yep. I had a lot of people say stuff when they saw that hair.
Today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah,
I know, and literally it was. 4 years later, I looked basically just like I look today. But that was a very unique situation that I had entered the Japanese Sister City contest, photo contest, and it just happened that my photograph, and it was a blind, they did not know the names of the people when Japan Airlines did the judging.
Wow.
They did not know who did what. They had no one knew that I was affiliated with the chairman of the Japanese Sister City Committee in Glendale, right, who happened to be my mother. And the picture that I took for this one, this was the very first, I won two in a row and then they banned me. but this one was the first. This was the first one that I did, and I had taken two pictures of a Japanese 16-year-old Japanese koto player the year before when I was 19. When we went to Japan, I happened to have fallen in love with her, but since we didn't speak the same language, it didn't. It was never going to work out. But I did take two pictures of her, and she was playing. She had an obi on, the traditional Japanese dress.
Yeah.
And a koto is the same thing, basically what a classical guitar would be. And those pictures were absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And I mounted them together. And, you know, one was from the front, one was from the back and everything. And they just thought that that really represented Japan. And so I won. And that was a highlight of my... up until then, 20 years old at the time, with a full head of hair and still black horn rim glasses, because that's basically
they were popular.
It's all we had. It's what we had back then. Anyway, good morning, Rick. Nice to see you today with your hair looking so nice. I'm so jealous.
Boy, you could get a toupee.
No, there would be hell toupee. My mom delivered a card from somebody when I was working at this place where I was a photographer. And she had somebody drop a business card by same guy who did Burt Reynolds' hairpiece. Came by my place of work and left a business card at the front desk. And it took me weeks to live that one down. And I finally had to tell my mom, don't you ever do that again. Send me anything that has to do with the hairpiece. Anyway. You said what? Oh, yes, I did. I had prayer.
You don't care.
And I said the date, too.
Yes, you did.
I did say the date. I actually did okay this morning.
Who's on remote today?
But just Dawn for now.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, again, we don't know who's listening on the internet because it just doesn't show us.
Right.
Okay. Unless they check in. And if you want to and you're listening on the internet and you want to just check in, go ahead and check in. That way we'll know who's on chat with us.
Okay.
On my way down to Orange County to see my granddaughter, who had called me the week before, and had said, Papa, Do you miss me?
Boy, that'll get you.
Do you want to come and see me? Yeah, Papa works a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. But I will. So I did. I went down last week. And as I was on my way down there, I was having a conversation with my wonderful wife, who I am so glad I can have an intelligent conversation with most of the time. And I was still processing the information which I had shared with all of our listeners.
Which came out of last week's study. Yeah.
That was really good. Mm-hmm.
Which started on Friday and carried over to Sabbath. And because of a really wonderful, informative conversation with our friend who had some really good information from his research mm-hmm. on wheat and the seed, I had started the study with the text in Isaiah about the rain and the snow that comes down from the heavens from God, and it waters the earth, causing the seed to sprout and grow, and that the rain and the snow that go back to the heavens does not return to God without accomplishing that for which it was sent. And that for which it was sent is to cause the seed to germinate, sprout, and grow until the time of the harvest. And as we talked about the hard red winter wheat and how that when they were the researchers were going through the land of Egypt and they found some grains of this hard red winter wheat in the underground silos in Egypt that had to be over 3,000 years old.
Wow.
Probably between 3,000 and 4,000 years old. And they planted those seeds and watered them. And the seeds sprouted and grew into full mature wheat. Is that a miracle? Well, maybe some don't believe that.
I think it's awesome.
Show me proof.
Go watch it grow.
I was dealing with someone like that last week.
Yeah.
Show me proof. I will not believe it unless you can show me.
I think those proof. People live in Missouri, don't they?
Well, you know. No,
show
no,
me
proof. They live all over the world. And you know, Dennis shared with us a historical fact about his family and that the most valuable item that they had and the one thing that they would not leave their homeland without was the hard red winter wheat seed.
They brought two sea chests. One with as much of their possessions as they could pack in that, mm-hmm. clothes and whatever they whatever else they felt they needed, and another sea chest with full, absolutely to the brim, with hard red winter wheat from East Prussia. Mm-hmm. And the original family came from the steppes of Russia and migrated to East Prussia and then came over.
So what does this have to do with anything? Especially with a spiritual study. Many people have a question as to what information is reliable. When you open your Bible, you see words. They're composed of letters, making sentences, paragraphs, chapters, and books, and letters. Where did they come from? What is their purpose? When you read this, look in Ecclesiastes, chapter 48. And what you are reading here is a timeline description of historical fact accuracy. In fact, just before chapter 48, I like the description that the writer gives of the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. That is in chapter 47 and starting with verse 26. Solomon rested with his ancestors, leaving one of his stock as his successor. The stupidest member of the nation, brainless Rehoboam, whose policy drove the nation to rebel.
What was the chapter and verse again?
47.
Ecclesiastes,
chapter 47.
What?
And
I don't have 47 chapters in Ecclesiastes.
Well, I do.
I'll be dipped.
Well, I'm not finding it. It's right after Proverbs, right?
Yes. It's here.
Well, it's not one you look up very often.
Rehoboam, the stupidest member of the nation.
Yeah, you see, I find it fascinating that the Bibles that I have, at least I'm going to have to look around a little more in my computer Bible, but it stops at chapter 12.
Jeroboam. This is Ecclesiasticus. Next, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel sin and set Ephraim on the way of evil. From then on, their sins multiplied so excessively as to drive them out of their country. What drove them out of their country? Their sins. For they tried out every kind of wickedness until vengeance overtook them. Then the prophet Elijah arose like a fire, his word flaring like a torch. It was he who brought famine on them and who decimated them in his zeal. By the word of the Lord, he shut up the heavens. He also three times brought down fire. How glorious you were in your miracles, Elijah. Has anyone reason to boast as you have? Rousing a corpse from death? You remember that story of Elijah bringing life back to the widow's son. From Sheol, by the word of the Most High, dragging kings down into destruction, and high dignitaries from their beds, hearing reproof on Sinai and decrees of punishment on Horeb, anointing kings as avengers and prophets to succeed you, taken up in the whirlwind of fire, in a chariot with fiery horses, designated in the prophecies of doom to allay God's wrath before the fury breaks, to turn the hearts of the fathers towards the children, and to restore the tribes of Jacob. Happy shall they be who see you, and those who have fallen asleep in love, for we too will have life. And then it is followed by a short account of Elisha. Turn to John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And I'm going to let Dennis read this, and then I will read it. He's going to read it out of the, is it the New English?
I can do it in whatever translation you want.
Well, what the one you usually use.
Get it then. How about let's use the English Standard Version.
Okay.
Okay. John, what?
3:19-21.
Oh, my favorite.
I know. That's why I'm asking you to read it.
All right, here we go. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God.
Now I will read from the Jerusalem Bible the same verses. On these grounds is sentence pronounced. Please consider seriously those words. On these grounds is sentence pronounced. That though the light has come into the world, men have shown they prefer darkness to the light because their deeds were evil. And indeed, everybody who does wrong hates the light and avoids it, for fear his actions should be exposed. But the man who lives by the truth comes out into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God.
You know, I find it fascinating. You know, I've read that, gosh, how many times? I have no idea. But it just struck me that the people who love darkness do not consider themselves to be wicked.
Mm. Why?
I've known
because
that.
They surround themselves with darkness.
But they love what they believe so thoroughly,
yes, they do,
that when presented with truth,
they want nothing to do with
they reject it out of hand because it does not already agree with what they know to be true.
And try to discredit it.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Correct. And see, again, it fits perfectly with the idea that the Christian church today is thoroughly enamored with the idea of salvation by grace through faith. And as you pointed out earlier, Rick, the person who came into the marriage feast, the parable of Jesus and the wedding feast, this person believed that when he got to the marriage feast, he would be given a robe of righteousness. He would be given a robe. So he came to the wedding feast naked. And when he went into the wedding feast, he was not clothed. It wasn't that he was wearing dirty, filthy rags. It's that he wasn't wearing anything.
He was naked.
He was naked.
As is described in the message to Laodicea.
Yes. But he, like the king who was given... The king's clothes. Who believed that he was wearing royal robes. This person was sadly and sorely mistaken.
The New American Standard Version starts out verse 19 with, "This is the judgment."
Yep.
This is the judgment. Now, many people believe that the Son of God did not come to judge. And he didn't. That is true. But he came for judgment. And there is a difference. The world is going to be judged. Every person, every individual who has ever had life is going to be judged. There is no way to escape it. They are going to be judged based upon their actions in response to the testimony of truth. The Son of God came here to earth to do one thing. Without him doing this one thing, there will be no judgment. There would be no eternal life. There would be no earth made new. There would be nothing without him coming to do what he had to do. And what he had to do was deliver a testimony which would be used in the judgment.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, everyone who faces the judgment is going to be asked one thing. Did you ever have access to, or did you ever hear of the Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One of God? And of course, most would have to answer yes. If you're Muslim, you have heard of him and believe that he is a prophet. as is recorded in the Quran. As a Jew, you have heard of him also. As a Christian, definitely you have heard of him and have had access to his words. And atheists have heard of him. Agnostics have heard of him. Pagans have heard of him. Heathens have heard of him. In fact, according to his own words, as recorded by his own eyewitness disciple, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come.
Suzette just posted that. Was it today or yesterday?
Yeah,
On the Facebook Spirit of Truth Ministry group.
This is the judgment. That light has come into the world, but the world preferred darkness. On my way to see my granddaughter, a thought occurred to me, which I shared with my wife, and how amazing it was to me and to her also. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, and I know you have this in your Bible. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 1. That same day, Jesus left the house and sat by the lakeside. Imagine yourself there, by the Sea of Galilee. Feel the breeze. Hear the lap of the little waves on the shore. And see the figure that has the whole area ablaze with conversation, discussion. And look around you and see the mass, the throngs of humanity pressing in. Try and get right next to him. But such crowds gathered round him that he gets up into a boat and sat there. The people all stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. Is he just telling nice stories? Is he philosophizing about life in general?
Nope.
He said, imagine, if you can, a sower going out to sow. Huh.
Farmer spreading his seed.
Imagine, if you can. Now, the if you can, I have supplied, but I'm saying, if you can imagine. That's why I started this out with, imagine yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the breeze, hear the water. See the man step into a boat and go out a little way so that everyone can see him. Imagine that a sower goes out to sow. Some seeds fell on the edge of the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the patches of rock, where they found little soil and
sprang up right away because there was no depth of earth. But as soon as the sun came up, they were scorched, and not having any roots, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell on rich soil and produced their crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, anyone who has ears. Well, I have ears. I'm here by the lake, and I hear what you said. What do you mean, anyone who has ears? Is there anyone around here who doesn't have ears? Or maybe he's talking about the deaf. Maybe there's a deaf person here who can't hear. I wonder. He has paused. Sower. Well, it's kind of a careless act, this sower. I mean, throwing seed by the side of the path? Who would do that? He's just throwing out seed, and he doesn't really seem to care where it goes. Those seeds that hit the path, he knows are not going to grow into anything. He knows the birds are going to come and eat them up. Mm-hmm. And the seeds, he throws them on rocky soil? How careless! And in amongst the weed seeds? What does he think? What is he expecting? I mean, he doesn't look like he is into... He's a sower? Well, he should know better.
Yeah, it's a waste of seed.
It is a waste of seed. Obviously, he's not going to be able to harvest those seeds,
right.
the fruits of those seeds. And then, of course, it's a foregone conclusion that if he plans on a harvest of anything, he's got to make sure that there's seed that lands on the good soil.
Yeah, so it'll grow.
Now, the good soil, even that seems to have a difference of growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because although it is good soil and the seed grows to a mature plant, some areas seem to produce much more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, good soil produces a good plant.
Right.
Now, people are probably wondering, what is this crazy man talking about? He's stating the obvious. Duh. But his disciples, of course, have a lot more at stake. So they go up to him and ask, why do you talk to them in parables? Because, he replied, the mystery of the kingdom of the heavens are revealed to you, but they are not revealed to them. Huh. The mysteries. He just told them a parable, right?
Yeah.
The sower.
Right.
Some seed lands by the path. And what happens to that? Some lands on rocky soil. What happens to that? Some lands among the thistles and the briars. And,
yeah, yeah.
And what happens to that? And some lands on good soil. And what happens to that? So what's so mysterious about that? And the people are discussing amongst themselves, is he trying to educate us on farming? Even the disciples. Listen, Master, why don't you just say that your words are like seed? and your words go into the ears of the throngs, the masses of people here listening to you, and those words travel into the mind, and the mind processes those words, and the person says, okay, I'll be more careful when I plant my seed. Is that what he's teaching?
No.
Is that what he wants to say? How to be an effective wheat farmer? Master, why? Because the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens are revealed to you. Oh, this is a cult. This is a secret society. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought this was to go to the whole world, but now it's just to those who are initiated?
And know the secret handshake.
Yeah, that's really important.
For anyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah.
What does he mean by that? For everyone who has will be given more? Take the message of the parable and connect it to the words of explanation. The seed that fell on good soil, that's what we are taking a look at right now, because the seed that fell by the path, that is bird seed. The seed that fell on rocky soil, it never lasted. Looked good, but it never lasted. And the seed that fell amongst the weed seeds?
Didn't have a chance.
Got choked out. Mm-hmm. So let's just focus on the good soil.
Well, see, the thing is, what people are looking at is they're looking at the quality of the seed and not the quality of the ground. God does not choose the quality of the ground. He gives this to everyone.
And that's
Gentiles included.
What we're going through. You see, those words spoken by the sower are his seeds. But we are talking in spiritual terms, using physical story. A physical story, a story about a sower who goes out to sow seed and what happens with that seed. But he's not trying to make us expert wheat farmers. He's trying to make us expert people farmers. The seed are his words. His words do not return to him empty. He says that. His words do not return to him empty. What does empty mean?
Devoid of everything.
Vacuous.
Yeah.
The hard red winter wheat, which he has sent down here to be planted, sprouted, and grown. It will last until it has been put into the soil that will allow it to grow, as Dennis can attest to from his grandfather. As you can look at that which was found in the underground silos in Egypt, and that seed, which more likely than not was placed there by the command of Joseph, and that was given in about, let's say, 1817, somewhere in that 100 BCE.
Wow.
We are talking about almost 4,000 years ago.
Wow.
And that seed was taken and planted in good soil. It was watered. It germinated. It sprouted. It grew. It matured into a plant which produced the good, hard winter wheat. The same type that was planted 4,000 years later. And so, what we must consider, what is the mystery? The mystery is this. It's not something that needs to be kept a secret from everybody. Only the initiated few have access to it. You see, in this, in God's kingdom, only those who are able to understand stories that talk about real, tangible life events and understand how it applies in the spiritual sense will be able to understand the mysteries. And who determines that? Does God determine whether we have the ability to understand the mysteries? No. Because the sower goes out and sows seed anywhere and everywhere. In fact, turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22.
Right.
Starting with verse 1. Jesus began to speak to them in parables once more. Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Here's another mystery. The kingdom of the heavens may be compared to a king who gave a feast for his son's wedding. He sent his servants to call those who had been invited, but they would not come. Notice, his servants went to call those who had been invited. Is that past tense or is that present tense? These had already received their invitation. The servants were going out to tell them, all right, it's time. Come. It's ready. So it's not like these people were surprised to be invited to the feast. Oh, no, they had already received the invitation quite some time ago. But you know how life gets in the way of things like this. And God understands that too. Life gets in the way. And so he sent his servants out because no one was showing up. So he sent his servants out to say, hey, the feast is ready. You know, come. To those who had been invited. But they would not come. Next, he sent some more servants. Tell those who have been invited that I have my banquet all prepared. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding. But they were not interested. One went off to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, maltreated them, and killed them. You know, quit bothering us. We have no interest in going to that wedding. The king was furious. He dispatched his troops, destroyed those murderers, burnt their town, Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but as those who were invited proved to be unworthy, go to the crossroads in the town and invite everyone you can find to the wedding." So these servants went out on the roads and collected together everyone they could find, bad and good alike. The wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to look at the guests, he noticed one man who was not wearing a wedding garment. And he said to him, "How did you get in here, my friend, without a wedding garment?" And the man was silent. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the dark, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth, for many are called, but few are." Now you're, as well as mine, may say chosen. That word also means to purchase. To purchase. So you can say many are called, but few are purchased.
Wow.
You see, the sower is like the servants. Already, judgment had taken place on those who were invited and weren't interested and refused to go. And so the sower had sown seed. And he said to his servants, his disciples, "Go and invite everybody." The crossroads in the town is where everybody went through. And just stand there on the corner, on the crossroads, and just say, "You're invited. Here's your invitation to the feast." And everybody who walks by, invite. Don't worry about whether they're good or bad. Invite them. Turn to Matthew chapter 13.
By the way, that is the word there in Matthew 22:14 for chosen. It has the older root of it. It does mean chosen, but the older root is eklegomai. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's Strong's 1586. Okay? It's to select or make a choice or be chosen. Okay? So it is a matter of...
What it is like when you go to the grocery store and you look at the produce.
Right.
And you squeeze it and you knock on it and you smell it and you... examine it, and you go, okay, you make your choice. This is the one I want. Why? Because it's ripe, it's healthy, and it's sound. And that's what God does when he is doing
right.
This, is he chooses those who are ready, those who are ready to harvest, those who are ready to do his will, those who are righteous. He does not choose anything corrupt.
Right.
And he doesn't take something that is corrupt and stick a righteous sticker on it.
That's funny.
You know, he doesn't put lipstick on a pig, so to speak, which is what grace is. Grace is putting lipstick on a pig. Sorry.
And that brings me back to one of my favorite expressions. It's difficult to teach a pig to sing. Yeah, well, you know, it's counterproductive to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. So people who don't want to be chosen, you see, this is what I got from that is, there are people who don't want to be chosen.
Well, there are people who want to fool God into thinking they're something they're not.
Right, exactly.
Matthew chapter 13, and we are rapidly running out of time again, as per norm. Verses 47 through 50. This is a parable, another parable, but I believe that this parable directly relates to the parable of the invitation to the marriage feast. It's the parable of the dragnet. Again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a dragnet cast into the sea that brings in a haul of all kinds. When it is full, the fishermen haul it up ashore. Then, sitting down, they collect the good ones into a basket and throw away those that are no use. This is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will appear and separate the wicked from the just, to throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. There's that place again. Mm-hmm. Weeping and grinding of teeth. For judgment I have come into the world so that those who... What? Those who are blind may see, and those who say we see become blind. Mm-hmm. The naked fellow in the marriage feast is like the fish that is thrown out, the bad fish. It is not a rotten fish, although yes, it is. It's an unclean animal, an unclean fish.
You know, it's inedible. And you know, basically, today, if you go to your average sushi restaurant or you go to a variety of other places, people are literally eating things that are inedible. That if you really took time to think about it, you'd go, why am I eating this?
Why they get sick?
Yeah, you know.
It's because it tastes good.
Have you understood all this? They said, yes. And he said to them, well then, every scribe who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of the heavens is like a householder who brings out from his storeroom things both new and old. Old. Maybe 2,000 years old. Some people say, well, you have new light. New light? Maybe, yes. But new light only comes first after understanding old. And what I mean by old is that the old must go back to the seed. The seed that was placed in confidence with those whom the sower gave them. The heart is soil. The heart, not the fleshy organ that pumps blood around, but the consciousness, the being, that person, the part of that person that decides yes or no. As the word comes in, does the word hit a brick wall? Does the word take root or not? And if it takes root, does it last? Tomorrow we will continue our study.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Suzette. And thank you all for listening. Dr. Don and Linda and anyone else who is out there who's been listening, we encourage you to go and download this our MP3 files from our website on Blog Talk Radio. We also encourage you to go to our website and take a look around there at spiritoftruthministry.net. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. See you tomorrow.